Hey guys, it's HM Wheelhouse Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. You're about to hear some interviews I was able to have in Round Rock at the home of the Round Rock Express at the Dell Diamond with Josh Rojas, Colin McKee, and Brendan Belak. Stay tuned. Hey guys, welcome back. Thanks for listening. This is H-Town Wheelhouse. Up next, you will hear my interview with Joshua Rojas of the Round Rock Express. Hey guys, it's H-Town Wheelhouse. We are here at the Dell Diamond live with Joshua Rojas. He is a rising star in the Astros farm system. Josh, say hi to the crowd.
How's it going?
So Josh here, Josh, you were picked in the 26th round, okay? Getting here to Round Rock, what was the one thing that you feel like has helped you to climb the ladder and up through the Astros organization?
I think just constantly competing against the guys around me, not really worrying about the next level, just whatever level I was put at when I started out, which was Quad Cities, just competing around the guys around me, competing against the guys around me, getting help from the coaches, and then eventually getting called to the next level, and then just doing the same thing and not really worrying about where I want to be, just about competing where I was at.
Okay, so kind of like being in the moment.
Yeah.
In other words, Brandon and Colin both talked about not getting too distracted by the big league goal.
Right, and that's what you have to do. You can't really worry about that kind of stuff, because that stuff, for the most part, is out of your control. You can control how well you play and how hard you play, but can't really control whether you get called up or not, and you need the perfect situation to do that. So you if you get caught up in too much of where you think you should be, it might hurt you performing where you're at.
Okay, so let's take a look back in 2018. I tried to do my homework and my due diligence so I would know what I'm talking about. But I noticed that your average had dropped in 2018 when you're in Corpus, but since then has jumped over 70 points. Okay, not only that, but power numbers are now involved. What did you do differently in your approach at the plate to up the average, to up the contact?
So last year, I think what happened was I got caught up a lot in trying to hit home runs, and Corpus Christi wasn't really a place for me to do that. Because the ball doesn't really fly to right field, and I think I started pressing, going so long without hitting a homer, I felt like I should be hitting homers, and I really got caught up in trying to do too much, and I think my average showed that, and the adjustment I made this offseason going into spring training was I'm going to really go back to the basics and what I was good at growing up playing, and that was just making contact and getting the balls in the gaps and hitting the balls through the hole. And that's what I really wanted the focus to be on coming into this year, was to drive the gaps and make contact, as much contact as I can, put the ball in play, and then let the rest take care of itself. And that's what I've been really focused on this year, is just making contact, making good, solid contact, and driving gaps.
Okay, awesome. That sounds, of course, since we're the Astros 411, we're typically hyper-focused, and I mean, it's really glaring when you see someone like an Altuve, and the term that you use, that I've used in the past, is that it looks like he's pressing. And so that's what you're talking about, is just you almost get outside of yourself trying to do too much. And what you're saying is just simplifying that swing and small goals, just making contact.
Yeah, and one of the big things I heard this year was, like, you don't really realize that kind of stuff when it happens in the big leagues. You kind of just think they have it figured out, but you hear a lot of guys talk about sometimes they press, and I heard Reddick say it this year in spring training. Last year he got too caught up and hit home runs to right, and this year he went back to spraying the field, and he's having a heck of a year this year. So, yeah, I think sometimes you just get out of your comfort zone, and then you try to press too much to get back there, and then it takes an off season to kind of sit back and realize what happened, what went wrong, and then you go into the year trying to fix those things.
Very cool. All right. My son Samuel is going to ask you a couple questions. Samuel, what are your questions?
So my first question is, what was your favorite position to play in Little League?
Ooh, in Little League, I grew up as a catcher, actually. I caught all through Little League. That was my favorite position, just because you were involved in every play. I didn't really like to be standing out in the field bored. So, I grew up catching in Little League, and then from there I kind of branched out all over the place.
So how much? So how long did you play catcher until? Did you? I mean, was it just Little League, and then once you got into high school, college, or you know, on up, you just branched out from there, or did you? Have you done any catching in the higher levels?
No. So I actually caught through Little League, and then I played travel baseball outside of Little League, and I caught. And then I think I was maybe 11 or 12 when we got a guy that was a primary catcher, and that's all he did. So I moved to the infield. And then we got a couple good infielders, and I went to the outfield. And that's club ball and middle school age is when I started moving all over the place. When I got to high school, I kind of catching was out the window. I didn't really catch anymore once I got to high school.
Okay, Samuel, what's your next question?
What does it feel like having Correa in the dugout with you?
It's cool. I mean, he's a good guy to bounce information off of, to learn some things. He's been there. He's younger than I am, and he's been an MVP candidate every year. So it's really cool to hear the types of things that he had to do to get into the big leagues, and the type of things that he does to stick there. And it's cool because he doesn't really carry himself like he's a superstar. He's easy to talk to. He's actually my locker mate right now, and he's down to earth, easy guy to talk to. Doesn't really carry himself like a big-time superstar that he is.
Yeah, because I've heard the term used, I got big league by my friend, or you know, guys move up, and a friend of mine who used to coach for Alcorn State knew Bo Porter, a former manager for the Astros, and he said, man, once he became manager, he said he big leagued me every time. And so that's really cool to hear. So this year, going into the season, Are you focused on certain things you're doing day in and day out, or do you have season goals, or do you try to stay away from that and just small incremental goals along the way?
Yeah, no, I actually didn't set a single season goal this year, and I think one of the reasons was because last year I kind of had those season goals that I wanted to complete, and I didn't, and I think because when I started to realize I wasn't going to get those goals, I started to press a little bit. So I didn't set any season goals this year. I just have goals each day, and that's to get on base as much as I can, help the team win, and then at the end of the year, I'll be able to try to look back and see what kind of goals I can set for next year. But yeah, this year I didn't set any goals for the season.
Okay, so you've seen several guys come through this year from the big league club because of injuries. Diaz, Altuve, Correa. Because you are an infielder, Correa, I mean, all those guys, I'm sure you're able to get something from each one of those guys as they come through. Were you able to get any tips? Were you able to get any insight from Altuve, from Diaz, from those guys?
For the most part, I just watch. I watch them, their daily routine, and what they do when they're taking on balls. And that's always how I've been. I can learn really well just by watching, and that's what I like to do, is watch guys and what they do and try to pick up some things. The one thing I did talk to Altuve about was not having Correa-type arm strength from the left side and how he adapts to that. And I talked to Altuve about, just like when second, he doesn't play short, but when the second base has to move over as in the shift, and you have to make that long throw for guys that don't have the best arm strength, it kind of really matters on your arm slide and how you backspin the ball and get good carry on your ball. And we talked a little bit about that, but for the most part, I just kind of watch guys and how they go about their work.
Okay, so tell me about the organization as you've moved up through the Astros organization. Do they have a pretty good flowing feel to where when you go from level to level, it's pretty much something that's set up top, a standard that's set up top, and it just trickles down to the major leagues? Or, I mean, is it the same feel each stop, or is it completely different each level?
No, the Astros do a really good job of making it the same type of feel as you move up. I mean, obviously, I don't know what it's like once you get to big league level. Things might change a little bit up there, but as I've gone from low A to triple A, everybody, the coordinators, the coaches, they do a really good job of making you feel comfortable as soon as you get here. For example, like when we have our hitting coaches, I had my hitting coach in double A. As soon as I get called up to triple A, they've already communicated on what I like to do, what I like to work on, what I've been focusing on. So when I get here, it's just right into the right into the same routine. So I've kept the same routines defensively and offensively as soon as I came up here.
Very cool. Something I didn't ask the other guys, but that I've always wondered. I know knowing Ryan, you know, he's getting up there in years. So I don't know how much he interacts with you guys, but have you had the opportunity to visit with Nolan Ryan? Does he ever come down on the field or in the clubhouse and interact with you guys just kind of as a mentor?
I have not met him here. I actually got to meet him in spring training for a brief moment in the clubhouse, but I haven't met him here yet, no.
Okay. So a couple other questions. Do you have a certain routine on game day, like something you eat in the morning, the way you put your right shoe on before your left shoe? Do you have a lot of those superstitions right now built into your game?
I have a few superstitions. Not ones that I discuss very openly, but
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a few superstitions that go into each day, and it kind of depends on how I play, if I switch those up. But yeah, I have a few superstitions that I do every day.
No, yeah, definitely. And we don't want you to jinx those, you know, the famous word jinx. So that's, you know, I appreciate you keeping that close to the cup. You know, it's like the old song from The Gambler. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, right?
Exactly.
So this year, you guys are doing really well. You guys got an excellent record, and it seems like most of the Astros farm system is continue to excel. Do you guys, because of that, have more pressure to perform on the field because you kind of have this expectation, the Astros? Does the Astros' success put pressure on y'all, or do y'all not even really connect it to you?
No, I mean, I don't feel any extra pressure, and I don't think any of the guys feel extra pressure. I think, if anything, we feel an extra confidence. Like,
okay,
we are the team to beat right now in every level. I mean, a couple of us have talked about it that have moved up kind of fast. Me, Chaz McCormick, Brandon Belak, McKee, we've all moved pretty fast, and we've gone from the lower levels to high level, and we've seen everything take place. And we've talked about how we really feel like at every level our teams have been the best teams, and there's not really anybody close to us. I think here in AAA is when things have kind of, we finally found some other teams that are competing and outplaying us sometimes. But yeah, if anything, we feel an extra vote of confidence because we feel like we're right now the Astros system is the team to beat.
Okay, so one last question to, you know, wrap things up. Seeing that you mentioned being with several of the players where y'all moved up, does that help when you have that camaraderie, when you have that familiarity, when you go from level to level because you've got guys there that you're familiar with? Does that help in your comfort level and transitioning into being an everyday player at the next level?
Yeah, that helps a lot. When you have guys that you've moved up with and you've grown with, it's really cool and it's awesome to see because you have guys next to you that you've seen improve enough to get to the level where you're at, and they're improving at the same pace as you, so that's cool. But you also meet a lot of these guys in spring training, and you know a lot of these guys from spring training, so when you go up to the next level, it's not kind of, you don't really feel out of place. You kind of feel really comfortable with the guys because you've played with them for however long we're in spring training, which feels like a long time when you're there, but yeah.
Well, good deal. Hey, this was Joshua Rojas joining us with the Round Rock Express. Josh, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day pregame to join us. I'm H-Town Wheelhouse. Say your name.
Samuel.
All right, Josh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, and continued success, Josh. We look forward to hopefully one day paying admission to Minute Maid Park and seeing you on the field, seeing you announce, and continued success to you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
This is H-Town Wheelhouse, and welcome back. Up next, you will hear my interview with Colin McKee, the Round Rock Express two-time Player of the Week, right-handed pitcher. Hey guys, this is H-Town Wheelhouse. I'm here on the podcast today with Round Rock Express pitcher Colin McKee, a rising star in the Astros minor league system. Colin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so we're sitting here talking, man. It's a beautiful day today. It's not 108,000 degrees. It's actually only about 92. But what has been, you know, the best part of being a part of this ball club, the Express, the clubhouse? What's it like in there with the guys?
From day one, everybody's been really welcoming. You know, I was with the guys up in Oklahoma City right before their All-Star break, just to kind of help them out. And, you know, it's been great to be around some guys that have been in the organization for quite a long time. And, you know, they're really good dudes that have been around a long time, and they can teach you a lot.
Okay. So, you know, going into the minor leagues, did you start with the Astros organization? Have you been with them from the beginning? And if not, how did you get to the Astros organization?
Yeah, I was drafted by the Astros in 2016 out of Mercer University. I was an 18th-round pick. So I played rookie ball in 2016 with the Greenville Astros in the Appalachian League. And then in 2017, I was in extended spring training and with the Tri-City Valley Cats, which is our short-season team. And then I went to full season after that in 2018. I started at Quad City. I was there for about 3.5 weeks, and I went to High after that.
Okay, so... What's it like going from short season to full season? You know, as a pitcher, you obviously aren't stressed out as much. Is that because you're getting your arm conditioned to throw more innings over that season? Is that really why it goes from short to long season in the minors?
Well, usually short season's for guys that are newly drafted, college guys or like high school guys. You know, usually are in like extended spring training, and then they play like in the GCL or the like one of the rookie ball affiliates as well. So like short season is just for like kind of younger guys that are getting acclimated, and then full season they kind of take the reins off and have guys go play baseball.
Okay, very cool. All right, Colin, my son Samuel.
I have two questions.
Okay, he has two questions for you. Awesome. Very cool.
So my first question is, what was your favorite position to play in Little League?
In Little League, I was a shortstop. So, really? I mean, I pitched a little bit on the side, but that definitely wasn't my primary position. So, like shortstop, third base, that kind of thing. I enjoyed it because, obviously, kind of in the action a lot, you know, in every play.
Definitely.
I didn't really make the transition to pitching, like, seriously until I was, like, a junior in high school, I would say.
Okay. Yeah. So, almost an Oral Hershiser-esque kind of change. You know, I don't know if you,
I'm not familiar with Oral Hershiser's background. I mean, obviously, I know who he is, but I don't know what his career path, I guess, was.
Well, Oral didn't actually pitch until he was in college.
Really?
So he was a late blooming pitcher, which probably is better for your arm in the long run, I guess.
Yeah, I was really thankful. My dad, you know, was always helping out with Little League and stuff like that. He never really let me pitch like a whole lot. Like, obviously, like, I would pitch, but it wasn't like I was getting rode to the ground like every weekend throwing, you know, complete games. It was like here and there, kind of sporadic, and I think that kind of allowed my arm to be healthy as I grew up.
Okay, very cool. All right, Samuel, second question.
What does it feel like having Correa in the dugout with you?
That's pretty awesome. I mean, obviously, you know, he has the number one overall pick. Like, he's a superstar in the major leagues. Like, you know, he kind of has a presence about him that is pretty impressive. And the way he goes about his business and, you know, takes care of what he needs to every single day is pretty impressive to see what he does.
Now, to go along with that theme, with Carlos Correa being in there, of course, knowing that, you know, he's got this goal, he wants to get back with the big club in Houston, does he take time with you guys? Does he mentor you guys? Is it different with each major leaguer that comes through when they're like on a rehab assignment?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a guy-to-guy basis. I mean, Carlos as a shortstop, he doesn't really deal with me too much as a relief pitcher. But when I was in Corpus Christi, Joe Smith and Colin McHugh were rehabbing there.
Nice.
So I got to hang out in the bullpen with them a couple nights and like just got to kind of pick their brains and, you know, just the little things like how to attack batters and how they use their pitches and, you know, just like kind of their mentality as they go through a game and watch a game as a bullpen guy. It was kind of interesting to see what they thought.
Very cool. Yeah, I don't know if you're into podcasts, but, you know, Colin McHugh has a great 12-6 podcast, and in May he interviewed Brent Strong. If you haven't heard it, it's definitely recommended. It's like 54 minutes, but it's radio gold.
Colin told me about, because we were actually talking about podcasts in the bullpen one day, and I told him how I prefer, like, I do listen to a lot of podcasts, but I try to keep it to, like, non-baseball sports podcasts just to kind of get me away from the game, you know, for the time that I'm not at the field. But he recommended his podcast to me, and I listened to his first episode with Lance McCullers. That's who the first episode was with, and it was actually really good. So I'm going to have to dive into the Brent Strong one here one of these days.
Definitely. All right, so back in 2018, you went 6-3, going from Quad City to Buies Creek. Then in 2019, you were 6-6 in save opportunities. Is that correct?
I believe so. That's, okay. That's what it says.
So, you know what I'm finding is, you know, I can totally geek out on, you know, baseball stats. And so when you try to recall stats to players, they're like, yeah, I think so. Even when we interviewed Willie Taveras, he almost acted like he didn't remember having a 30-game hit streak, which I thought was absurd. I was like, oh, come on. But I was going to ask you, for you, what has been the keys to your success on the mound?
You know, I think especially this year, it's just a comfort level, honestly. Just trying to attack batters and keep things as simple as possible, you know, either we're executing fastballs to certain locations, or with the off-speed pitches, either we're trying to land them in zone to certain spots or try to expand the zone whenever it gets to a pitcher's count, you know, like 0-2, 1-2, we're trying to expand and, you know, get some strikeouts and just trying to execute, keep things relatively simple.
So are you a quote-unquote closer?
We don't really use that term in the minors with the Astros. You know, we pretty much have, like, our starters, we have our relievers, and, I mean, I've had outings this year where I've come in the second inning and I've pitched three innings and as just okay. a kind of a bridge guy to kind of help out, like, eat some innings. And I've had, some save opportunities as well, but it just kind of depends on, you know, what the team needs that day and what the manager is trying to do. But it's, you know, you got to be flexible as a bullpen guy, so I think they try to develop that flexibility.
So I guess, you know, here you're really trying to, you're not necessarily trying to cement your role as much as you are trying to maximize your effectiveness, no matter what that is. And so where the major leagues are more concentrated on, you got your closer, your setup guy, your middle relief guy, your situational guy, you have to almost be a utility pitcher is what you're saying.
Exactly. Like, you know, early in the year I had quite a few outings where I was trying to eat up innings for Corpus Christi just because that's what we needed. Then, you know, kind of as the season went along and our starters got a little more comfortable, they started going deeper into games. We kind of got to specialize a little bit more and, like, all right, you got the 7, 8, 9, something like that. You got these three batters, like, go get them out. Where it was kind of a little bit more like major league like. But, yeah, it's just you got to be flexible and you got to, you know, be adaptable to any situation you're in. And I think the better you can do that, the more successful you'll be moving forward.
Very cool. Now, do you have a routine? Of course, now that I know and understand your role, you know, better, because as a baseball fan, when I see stats and I see saves, you know, multiple saves, I'm like, okay, well, that's the closer. But now that I understand your role, since you explained it to me, and I appreciate you doing that, do you have the same routine that you go through on game day, regardless of where you feel like you might fall in the game?
It kind of varies. I have to be a little bit flexible depending on what other bullpen guys are available, whether we're having a tandem start that day, whether I threw like the day before or if I'm on a few days rest, so if I'm going to be available for multiple innings or not. So then I'll probably have a better idea of whether I'm going to be one of the first guys out of the bullpen or if I won't be coming out until the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning. So then maybe if I'm going to be like the first guy out, I'll probably do some of my prep work and stuff like before I even come out of the clubhouse.
Okay.
If I'm probably not going to be pitching until later in the game, I usually don't start doing that stuff until the 4th inning. Just in the bullpen, I'll start, you know, just moving around like pretty gently, but, you know, just kind of start preparing my body for, you know, whenever they call my name.
Right. Okay, cool. I got a question. What is the difference between the life on the road as a low A ball player versus a triple A ball player? Is there a difference?
It's very significant, I would say. And like in low A, you're kind of, you know, you're kind of scrapping for meals, like between pregame and postgame, like you're eating like a PB&J in low A, or like PB&J, if you're lucky, a lunch meat sandwich, that kind of stuff. It's pretty, you're just trying to get your calories at that point.
Right.
Once you get to double A, triple A, you get a little bit better food, which, I mean, that's very nice, where you actually get like real food to eat that's prepared by somebody normally. And then like the hotels are nicer, like triple A you're flying everywhere, whereas double A we're busting all over Texas and Oklahoma and Missouri, so that was kind of, or Arkansas, not Missouri, but so like for Corpus we had some long bus rides, like some 13-14 hour bus rides, which you can do that triple H is awesome.
Right, no, yeah, and I can imagine that's, you know, taxing, because when you go on a road trip, it's not like you're playing one or two games and coming back. You're playing a full series.
Yeah.
I've heard it said that whenever major leaguers come down to rehab, they'll usually put out some kind of spread when it comes to food for the minor leaguers. Do they do that in AAA, or is that more of a AA thing for rehab?
In AAA, We haven't gotten one yet, but Carlos hasn't really left yet either. Usually it might be like their last day. Like when we were in Corpus Christi, like Colin's last day, like he got us some food. Like George Springer, when he was there, he got us a delicious, like surf and turf spread. Like it was the best meal we had all year, probably. So I don't really know if they do it in AAA or not, just because there's so many veterans that like have been up to the big leagues and back and stuff like that. But we honestly, like the food we get here in Round Rock is probably the best in the minor league. So like,
okay.
Even if they don't get us food, like we're still eating great.
Right.
Like, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, that's awesome to hear, because it's good to know that you guys are taken care of. It seems like just from my interaction with you and my interaction with Brandon all the way up to Andrew, who's over the PR here, it seems to be a great clubhouse environment. So you're here now. You're on the brink of making it to the majors. What is your focus? Are you like, big picture, I want to get to the bigs, or I've got to take care of me now, and if I take care of me now, then I'll be able to get there?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I have the same mentality that I had when I was back in short season. Like, it's okay. Just day in and day out, like, you just go take care of business that day, whether, you know, you're pitching that night or you're down that day, like, you're trying to get better doing something every single day. And, you know, so far that's got to be up to AAA, and hopefully having that mentality allows me to keep having success, and you know, hopefully at some point I get called to the majors. But you know, it's just, you can't really get distracted by the big picture. You're just trying to, you know, focus on the controllables, and you know, whatever happens will fall into place.
Okay. So a couple fun questions. What is your favorite, do you have a certain meal or something you eat on a game day, or have you ever delved into the superstitious part of game day routines yet?
Back when I was a starter in college, I was a little bit more superstitious. Like I would have a chicken parm every night before my start, like Thursday nights. As a reliever, it's kind of harder to be superstitious. You know, you got to be a little more flexible. Like I just have like usually like a turkey, like deli turkey and like cheese sandwich every day. Like that's probably the most superstitious I am. Like when I get to the field,
okay,
it's really not much. You know, I just gotta do my prep work and get ready to pitch, or don't, you know, just kind of depends on the day.
I hear you. You know, just one last question. If you had some advice, you know, my son's 11 playing baseball, but if you just have like one thing that you could share with, you know, young athletes, whether it's baseball, football, like my son just started playing golf this summer and just literally hitting the cover off the ball, to use baseball terms. But what is one thing you would want like young athletes to know growing up, and if they have their eyes on, you know, bigger things, you know, playing as a pro, what would you say to them?
I would say just, you know, stick to it, because I was never really a big prospect out of high school or anything like that. Like I went to a Division II school. Even there, like my first year, I didn't pitch. Like I had to redshirt. Like I really wasn't that good. And you just gotta kind of take it one day at a time, and just have, I would say, an intense focus on what you want to do, and attack it every day, and try to get a little bit better every day. And you'd be amazed at the progress you make over the course of time.
Well, definitely. Well, it seems like hard work has definitely paid off for you. I appreciate you today. You've been very, very cordial, very welcoming, feel very comfortable. You know, I would just say this, if y'all ever have a chance to get out to the Dell Diamond, check out these players, Colin McKee, Brandon Bielik, who also spoke with us. You know, Colin, I appreciate it. We in Houston wish you the best, and we honestly hope we are paying admission to come see you pitch one day at Minute Maid.
Well, I appreciate that. I hope I get a chance as well. So I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Colin. All right. Thank you. This is H-Town Wheelhouse. We're signing out. Hey guys, welcome to H-Town Wheelhouse. Up next, you will hear my interview with Brandon Bielik of the Round Rock Express. All right, guys, H-Town Wheelhouse. Today we are joined by Round Rock Express pitcher Brandon Bielik. Brandon, I just want to thank you for coming on the show today.
Of course. Glad to be here.
So, Brandon, I noticed that you played your college ball back in Notre Dame, and like we had just discussed, you had an opportunity to play with the Biggio brothers. And, of course, being in Houston and being a part of the Astros organization, there's some deep roots there. What was it like playing with, you know, Gavin, playing with Connor Biggio while there at Notre Dame?
Right, I mean, all their lives, all they've known was baseball. I mean, it was good to be in the same locker room as those guys. And they know what it took to get to the next level since they were around it their whole life. Mr. Biggio was around Notre Dame a lot. Kind of just behind the scenes, just watching. If he had some advice to say, he would come up to you and talk to you about it. But I mean, I still keep in touch with him pretty often, so it's good to see what Cabot's doing up in the big leagues now. It's definitely fun to watch.
Yeah, he's come up big, you know, hitting some upper deck home runs in Toronto and stuff. I noticed, I was looking into some of your history at Notre Dame. Your velocity was clocked around 93-95, and then the scouting report talked about how your velocity had dropped off, but it's also picked up. Going through pitching and working your way through the minor league system, are there mechanical changes that you make when you go through struggles? Is there any rhyme or reason why the velo changes, or is that just part of growing as you move up in the ranks?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a part of growing. You're not going to have your best stuff every day you go out there, and just being able to realize that you're not going to have your best stuff day in and day out, and being able to make adjustments when you have to, and knowing what works for you and what doesn't. Making those adjustments throughout my career and through college and professional baseball, it's been a big help so far.
Very cool. Now, would you say that your preparation for games has changed from being at Notre Dame, like high school Notre Dame, to where it is now because you've learned more?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. I've learned more about myself just as a baseball player and as a person. Knowing what works for me, establishing a great routine that I can stick to throughout the week in between outings, and knowing what I can do to prepare myself for my next outing.
Okay.
Just being able to do that just helped tremendously.
Awesome. So my son wanted to get him in between all the questions. He wanted to ask you a question. Sammy, what's your question for Brandon?
What was your favorite position to play in Little League as a kid?
I played a lot of infield. I pitched. I was a catcher. I still got to go with pitching. You got the ball in your hand. You just go out there, and at that stage, literally, you're just all about having fun. And that's what it was all about then. It still is now. But being able to control the game as a little leaguer, it's a good feeling.
Very cool. So moving up through the through the system, getting to AAA, having success each step of the way, do you set goals for yourself at the beginning of the season, or are you just, you take it game by game, week by week?
Yeah, I mean, there's incremental goals that I have for myself at the beginning of the season, off-season goals, where I want to be with myself, and, the biggest thing is taking every opportunity that I get and running with it.
Okay, very good. Now, since making your first big league training camp, that's really, I would assume, in a major leaguer's career or having your eyes on the major league, that's a big deal. When you did that, obviously everyone's goal is to make it to the big leagues, but does that change your goals? Does that cause you to think more of certain things, or do you just have to stay within yourself to not get too big-eyed?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of just the fly in the corner in the locker room, kind of just observing how the big guys do it, and just going about my business the way I've always done. I mean, just picking and choosing what information to get from the guys and seeing how they go about their business was just a great experience. And being able to build a relationship with those guys, it was a pretty awesome experience. My first time big league camp, knowing like that I'm right there, just one step away. You just gotta stick to who you are and keep working.
Yeah. So to discuss that a little bit further, they got the big names. Future Hall of Famer Justin Verlander. They got Garrett Cole, who I don't know if you saw this, just was the fastest to 200 strikeouts. Yes. In his career, and so being able to piggyback off of those guys, talk to them, for you coming into a training camp invitee, do they give you the same kind of respect that they give the other players? Do they pour to themselves? And for you, is that intimidating? Or like you said, do you just go about your business on a regular basis?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty daunting at first going in there. I went a few days early to kind of establish myself there and kind of get comfortable with the situation and the surroundings. But there are awesome guys in the clubhouse, awesome guys on the field. Just let them do their thing. And if they have something to say, or if I have something, if I have a question to them, they're very approachable. And I thank them a lot for being approachable. There's not many guys who are on other teams, so it's definitely a great clubhouse guy. It's fun to be in the same clubhouse as them for a little bit.
Yeah, so I've heard a term from I've had a former student here and there that have, you know, broken into the big leagues for a little bit, and they talk about how sometimes guys, when they get to the big leagues, they pull that, they say, you get big league, they kind of push you off to the side. And so what I think is great, I think with the national organization, I was going to ask you to speak to this, what has been the clubhouse environment that you see here in the Express that maybe you see also translated in the major league clubs in the short time you're able to be around those guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different with like being able to be like one of the younger guys on the team and not being able to play with them as I came up to my league system. A lot of the guys in the clubhouse have been playing together for a little while, so they kind of already had a relationship built. But I just had to be able to show them who I was and just put myself in the situation that I had to put myself in. Just be myself, introduce myself, and it's been great so far.
Awesome. You know, it's so good to hear your outlook, you know, and you know, for a lot of fans out there, you know, all we see is the bright lights, you know, and what would you say is the toughest part about the grind, about, you know, working through the minor league system? Is the tough part waiting for your chance, or is the tough part, you know, I mean, are there, you know, tough aspects to it, or are you just thankful each day that you're here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely thankful each day. But it's just each day you got to have a plan for yourself on what you're going to do to get better. And that's the biggest thing. Just have something in your mind that's going to help you improve and help you get to the next level.
Right.
You just got to take it and get it all each day. Is that you may not be feeling great that day, or you just got to know what you got to work on and attack it with great authority.
Okay. Let me ask you this, something on a personal note growing up. Who was it? Who's maybe the one person, the one coach that you really credit? And of course, I'm sure with you, to make it this far, there's probably multiple people, but who is that one person that you would say, this person, this coach, or, you know, this person had the biggest influence on my baseball career moving forward?
I mean, it's
got to
be my dad, for sure. My dad and brother, the offseason, I hope they play catch with me and everything if I don't have anybody to play catch with. But my dad's been there to help guide me ever since I was a little leader, like your son is. And it's, he always critiquing each outing. And it's, I credit them a lot to the baseball player.
Okay. Well, hey, thank you. We were joined today by Brandon Bielik. I know that you have won a couple Pitcher of the Week awards recently. And I want to end on that. For you, does that help you with your confidence? Are you really focused on that, or are you just more focused on the bigger goals?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to be able to realize that you have another outing coming up, and you can't be looking at what you did your last outing, because the last outing is not going to help you with the next one. You just got to improve and take what you did your last outing and improve what you didn't do right your last outing and improve it the next outing. So definitely something where you can build off of with confidence, but there's always another outing that you got to get to.
Definitely. Well, hey, Brandon, thank you so much for taking time out of your day, your preparation, your routine to talk with us. I'm H-Town Wheelhouse. This is Brandon Bielik. Thank you so much, sir, for joining us. And good luck, and hopefully sooner rather than later, we'll see you up here with us in Houston.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.